passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Second half of the show is live, and what a program it has been. Kurt Benkert's a former NFL quarterback who, quite frankly, has made an amazing name for himself on social media. We'll talk about that as well as the upcoming draft in a couple of weeks. He is quite an expert on QBs. And Kurt, many, many thanks for being with us. It's great to talk to you. I was talking to a current NFL player yesterday about what happens after he quits playing, and a lot of them go into television and do pretty predictable things. You have taken a different course. Congratulations, and tell us how you set out for what you've ended up doing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. I would say I kind of fell into it a little bit. When I was a younger kid, I gamed a lot. I played Call of Duty competitively. That was like my whole background, and have since kind of pivoted into teaching football through Madden. And so blending what I did in the NFL, what I learned throughout my 5 years, and now bringing it to like a visual tool with Madden, and have been putting content out on social media for the past really like 3 or 4 years. Transition from first person shooters to teaching football, and it's been a nice change of course.
Well, it's fascinating because there's so many Madden, I mean, there's zillions of Madden fans out there, but how have you been able to connect the dots from a popular game to the reality, even though that is reality in a way, to what you're talking about on YouTube?
Yeah, I would say there's creators that are really big, and a lot of them use the game just to show like how good they are or how they can exploit plays and just beat the game. And the way that I play it is very much, what can I do that pulls from real life football and concepts and how to beat defenses and coverages and the chess match. And I display that more so when I play than the other guys. And so it's just been a nice way to separate myself and differentiate, I guess, the final product of what my YouTube videos look like versus what people are used to seeing in the Madden space.
Kurt, you're also pretty well versed on quarterbacks. That's an understatement. So with so much excitement building, and we're about to take that heavy turn to the NFL draft, talk a little bit about what and how you differentiate the quarterbacks who everyone is talking about on all the chat shows up and down the dial.
Yeah, obviously this class feels honestly a lot like the class that I came out in. In 2018, we had guys like Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, and Mason Rudolph. Those were kind of like the top six guys. And this year, it's kind of like, who do you prefer? What style of play do you like to watch? And each of these guys is being asked to do a lot of different things comparatively. So it's not apples to apples at all when you're watching their film. And so for me, to try to judge these guys, I try to say, okay, I don't know what they're being asked to do, but where are they at foundationally with their footwork, their timing, anticipation, things that I know are going to be asked of them when they get to a presumably a West Coast offense. And so I try to start there, and then I go to see, all right, what's their upside? What's their ceiling? Because I don't think that guys right now can go in with a bad foundation and have immediate success. It's really hard to do, and teams are asking a lot of young players, and more so every year. So I think they have to have some sort of foundation of, you know, traditional footwork and timing and all that good stuff to have success. So I try to loop all that in together and judge these guys as fair as possible, which is hard. It's an imperfect science.
Well, I've been asked a question, and I don't know anything, so I'll ask you the question, trying to differentiate Jaden Daniels and Caleb Williams. That seems to be where most of the action is. Of course, Drake May comes into the conversation, but start with the two I mentioned.
Yeah, so I would say watching their tape, it's kind of to me like, I feel like when I'm watching Jaden Daniels, I'm watching C.J. Stroud in a way with an upside as a runner that Lamar Jackson has. I think he's more precise, like more precise with his feet. He's more uses like footwork, anticipation, all those things, and he throws across the middle of the field really well, even though people say he didn't do it a whole lot. So he has some parts to his game that I don't think he gets credit for. And then you look at Caleb Williams, and I'm like, dang, that looks a lot more like a Pat Mahomes style of player, where Pat Mahomes is really unorthodox in how he plays the game, but he gets it done. He's a winner, and he always has his team in a game. So I look at them, and I'm like, if Caleb Williams can develop situationally with how he manages third downs, red zone football, and just becomes a really good situational football, he could have the upside of a Mahomes. But I also think it's important to note that Mahomes has one of the best offensive coaches of all time, has had one of the best receivers of all time for the beginning part of his career, was able to sit a year and learn behind Alex Smith, who was a technician. And even Mahomes said it himself, without sitting that first year and learning how to play the game like a professional quarterback with footwork, timing, rhythm, he couldn't bring those really high ceiling parts of his game out to the surface if he didn't have that foundation built. And so that's probably my biggest thing of Caleb Williams. If he goes number one, which he probably will, he's going to play right away. He's going to play right away no matter what, probably. And he's not going to have that year to ramp it up. So these guys are probably going to two completely different situations. And I think early on, a guy like Jaden Daniels has the edge because he can rely on his feet to change the game, where Caleb relies on his feet to extend passing plays. So I would give the early edge to Jaden. I'd give the long-term edge to maybe Caleb, maybe, if the situation plays out. But I'm excited to see how it plays out.
It's interesting. A year ago, we were having a similar conversation with your aforementioned C.J. Stroud versus Bryce Young. I know it's easy to look at the results, but what were you thinking about then? Because we're so familiar with Bryce Young, and it was painful to watch.
Yeah. I actually loved C.J. Stroud from the beginning, and I actually don't know how Bryce got to the number one spot. I know, look, you have the national championships, you have all this and that, but when you put them side by side and try to compare them apples to apples, look, their situations were different, all this and that, but I think Bryce needed more around him to go well, to perform at the highest level that he could, where CJ was able to throw with more anticipation, throw down the field better. Just, I think the game that CJ was playing played itself more towards success in the NFL than the game that Bryce was playing early. And I know people talk about SEC football and like it's NFL ready and this and that, but the style of plays that they were making, I thought it was pretty apparent from the beginning that CJ Stroud, if he went to a decent situation, would have success. And not to say that it's over for Bryce Young at all, but Bryce does need help, clearly. He didn't have any help last year by a lot of the situation. So I don't want to get too far into what I think about the Panthers and where they kind of put him in. But yeah, he would have benefited for sure from not being thrown into the fire like that.
Well, franchise malpractice is what I would say. Spencer Rattler is also someone that had an amazing career. He was with Caleb Williams at Oklahoma. He left after disappointment. Where is he projected? Because he seems like he has a lot of talent.
Yeah, I actually really liked watching his film of him, and I felt bad for him watching it because I watched a lot of the scheme that he was put into, the route concepts, the protection that he was put into, and it just wasn't, in my opinion, he wasn't able to show who he could actually be in that scheme this past year. There's a lot of seven-man pro, three-man routes versus drop seven coverage, and just do the math there, three guys running routes on a seven-man route like defense, it's hard to get guys in open space. So you're caught with bad footwork. You're caught having to scramble to create space. And he has all the talent arm-wise to do it. He's a good enough athlete. And I could see him being in a Brock Purdy type of situation where, yeah, he falls in the draft, goes to the right situation, maybe ends up being the number two somewhere, and then someone gets hurt and he's ready to shine. I think his skill set lends itself to being more successful in the NFL than other guys does. And from what I've seen, like, I really think he's going to be a guy that's very situational. Where does he end up? What team is it? What's he asked to do? And how much time is he given to get that ramp up period? But I think he can have a successful career as a backup and potentially be a Gardner Minshew type of guy.
Quite a comparison. Great conversation with Kurt. We appreciate your time. The draft is just 3 weeks away from this Thursday night as we head to the break right now. Your phone calls straight ahead.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Well, we continue here with phone calls. We've had a number of guests. Let's check in with Todd, who is up next.
Hey, Bob. Thanks for my call, buddy. You having a good day?
Yes, sir.
Good deal, brother. Let me say something to Darryl. Darryl, if it wasn't for Alabama football and something coming from Alabama football, y'all might not even have a team over there, buddy. Paul, that basketball team's doing real good. What do you think?
Yes, sir.
Are they going to take it all the way, Paul?
I'm not overly optimistic, no.
Okay, because I didn't think we'd get this far, but I had been listening to it. I don't know if you remember. J.K. been pulling for Alabama, and I don't know a lot about it, but I listen to him, and he knows what it takes to kind of win. You know, I mean, them guys know what's going on, but I don't know much. But I don't want to run out of prayers, Paul, and I hadn't said a prayer for God to let this Alabama team win because he's been so good to my buddy is doing all right that had open heart surgery at Druid City. And also, I prayed God to let that other buddy of mine win that Red Crest. But, Paul, my uncle called me yesterday from Fort Mill, South Carolina, Wallace. And anyway, he told me I needed to come see him, and that's the second time, and I need to get over that away. And if I get over there, you going to let me come by and see y'all at y'all's place?
As long as you pass the security test, yeah.
All right, I told you, Mark.
It's not exactly like going to the CIA, but I mean, you do have to have a driver's license.
Yeah, Paul, I have been to the CIA place in D.C.
Yeah, that's a.
I took a load of duct. They was building a exercise facility, a 3-story thing right there.
Right,
and I carried a semi load of duct. Work for them over there. But anyway, I was telling Jamari that I'm the only one, I bet you, that called this show that Laura Rutledge has got her arms around this old man. Because, Paul, you remember when y'all came up here for Tammy's funeral?
I do remember, sure.
Yes, that's when it was. But anyway, well, all right, Paul, I ain't going to hold you too long. But look, when I do get over there, I'll give y'all a shout. Maybe I'll come by there and see y'all meet all y'all guys.
We'll make sure we greet you. Thank you, Todd. Yeah, I think I mentioned this before, but I had lunch a couple years ago at the CIA. And when you go through the gate, they'll come to your car. I mean, after they check it before, but you have to leave your phone in your car. You cannot take obviously somebody with clearance, but just some ragtag like me. It's quite interesting what you have to go through just to get inside that building. Let's move along, and John is up next in Tennessee. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Love what you do. Thank you again. Just a couple of things. With the firing of the new Tennessee Vols, Lady Vols coach, who do you think will replace her? There are talks on Knox News about Lindsay, I don't want to butcher her name, but the USC coach.
Right.
And if we could get her, would Juju come with her? Because she's an absolute phenom as well.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question, and she is a really good coach. I watched that game Monday night.
But she's also a West Coast.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of West Coast coaches coming this way to the SEC?
I mean, it can be done, but Tennessee is a very unique job. And I really don't know what the administration there is thinking. What I do know is that they will not spare any expense, and they will go after the very best. I mean, and I say that using deductive logic. You don't fire someone as popular and successful as the person they did in Kelly Harper and just decide on Monday afternoon to start conducting a search. It means you've already looked at it.
Okay, and my last question is, with baseball starting, what's your favorite college park and what's your go-to food? And thank you for my call.
Thank you, John. Man, you're I've been to a number of games. You're asking me to walk into a dangerous territory there trying to decide the best place to go in the SEC. Thanks for the call. Slammer is up next. Hey, Slammer.
Paul, when's the last time you heard from Freddie Kitchens?
It's been a while.
Do you know Freddie?
I do know Freddie, yes, I sure do.
Okay, he just wanted to tell you hello from somewhere.
Where did North Carolina?
He's up there with you, Paul.
Oh, is he? I didn't realize that.
He's coaching for North Carolina Tar Heels College. I don't know. I think he's coaching offensive line or something, or okay. Quarterbacks.
Yeah, no, I mean, I have kept up with Freddie. I mean, I've known him a long time, but it's been a couple of years since I've spoken to him.
Tell Freddie, if he's listening, to call his mother. She needs to talk to him.
Okay, well, that's. I'm glad we could help
back
that out.
Back to me and you, Paul. Getting in shape? Are you getting Randy in shape for the arm wrestling match at Pruitt's?
Randy's starting to back away from that.
Well, are you getting Marcus Spears?
I have not run about Marcus yet, but I will. I'll make sure. I would not want to mess with Marcus Spears. Will is up next in Alabama. Hey, Will.
Hey, Paul. Hope you're having a good day.
Thank you very much.
Hey, I'm going to kind of dig into your past here. A lot of the people that's, you know, on the new show, you might say, doesn't really realize how controversial you were in those early years, you know, when you first came on the radio.
Hey, Will, that's by design for me not to let them know that.
Well, what is so funny to me, and really curiosity is eating at me a little bit. When you first went on in Birmingham, I was listening every day, but there was another sports show in Birmingham that had Herb Winches and Ben Cook on it. Okay, you were on another station at that time. So, you know, I'd go back and forth listening, but you wound up on the very station that Herb Winches is on, and actually the word at that time was that you and him may team up. Was there any truth to that, that the radio station was going to put you guys together?
There was truth to it, and the person you're talking about, Herb Winches, is a close friend of mine to this day, and we communicate quite a bit. He really was a legendary television personality in Birmingham. He left that and went into radio, and he became equally legendary in radio. I mean, I've always felt like he was probably the best talk show host in Birmingham's history. And so I don't remember the exact circumstances, but he did leave whatever station he was at, and we got together, and I was fairly interested in teaming with him. I had been with him at times, but we'd always been at opposite places. And I proposed it. The person in charge of the station wasn't crazy about the idea because Herb had left that station. I mean, you always hear about WJOX, which is one of the, may be the best sports call-in station in the country in terms of success. He started that station, but then when he left, as it always is the case, they were a couple of words spoken, but you know what? You've given me a great idea, though, to have him on one day and just kind of reminisce about the literally good old days of sports radio when social media didn't overwhelm everything.
Well, you know, he was almost as controversial as you were.
Well, he was actually more controversial. He really did it all. He covered Coach Bryant. He had this deal in TV where he would try out. I mean, Herb was an outstanding athlete. He played football at Jacksonville State, I believe, for Bill Burgess, and he tried out for various teams. I mean, he for professional teams. He did everything. He wrestled some guy one night. I mean, he could do things that most of us couldn't. But he also had some epic moments in his career. I mean, as a newspaper writer, I was always writing about something that happened on Herb's show.
Well, like I say, I really wish, well, that would be something if you could get him on for that.
Well, I tell you, the funniest thing is, speaking of basketball, probably the most controversial thing he did, and I cannot say what was said, but he had Wimp Sanderson on his program one night. I'm sure you remember Wimp. And Wimp and Gene Bartow at the time had this vicious feud, UAB and Alabama. They were always going back and forth. And Bartow had said something about playing Alabama in a basketball game. So Herb introduces Wimp on the show. And Wimp just started rambling about Gene Bartow. And he said, you know, that blankety blank. And I mean, so with some curse words, you can actually hint at what they are. I'll give you a hint, okay? The first word happens to be a nickname at an SEC, one of the nicknames of an SEC program. And then there was another word attached to it. And he said that about and Herb goes, hey, Wimp, we're live on the air. And he said, he actually doubled down. He said, the blank we are, he said, we better not blank and be on the air. And it was like a massive meltdown. I heard the whole thing. I was listening to the interview. And I remember I called Herb the next day to make sure we got the transcript correctly, because it was like the lead story in my newspaper, what Wimp had called Coach Bartow.
If you could get him on, that would be...
I will. That's a great suggestion. Well, thank you very, very much. You brought back some great memories from yesteryear. We'll take a break. If you haven't figured out which one of the SEC schools, it's in South Carolina. We'll take a short break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back on a Tuesday afternoon, and Tanner is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hey, Tanner.
Hey, Mr. Feinbaum. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Well, we're still dancing, buddy. We're still dancing here in T-Town.
You got that right.
There were a lot of people doubted us. A lot of people said we couldn't make it this far, but, you know, let all the naysayers know. Paul, seriously, though, no matter what happens the next game, no matter what happens the rest of the season, I could not be more proud of the job Nate Oates and this team have done. They have really they've made history here at the University of Alabama, and I'm just so, so proud of them. But, Paul, I found out yesterday that I'd been knocked out of your caller bracket, so I got to give my hats off to the handsome Joe. It's not fair, Paul. He starts every call with the greatest three words in sports, you know?
Yeah, but, no, you're right. I had mixed feelings about that. I'm a fan of him, but I think you have been one of the bright emerging callers on this show.
Well, I'm just humbled. I'm just really just thank y'all for letting me be a part of this great show. But Paul, did I hear AJ yesterday? Did I hear him try and do a Cat Daddy impression?
AJ is he tried that. It was among the bigger busts of his career.
He's really grasping for straws these days. But it sounds from the last few weeks, it sounds like he really has high hopes for Auburn this year. But
well, he does, Tanner. But I don't think he'll ever get over the Gravedigger play.
Oh no, he probably won't. I mean, I know I won't get over it. but he you there, Paul?
Yeah. I'm hanging on every word, Tanner.
Well, I just he seems to believe Hugh Freeze is the new sheriff in town now that Saban's retired. But I, you know. Hugh Freeze, he, how can I put this? He might have a few plays up his sleeve, Paul, but let's be real. The thing that got Hugh Freeze the job was two crazy games beating Nick Saban. I mean, am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay, well, I understand Auburn's his team, and hats off, supporting your team. But Hugh Freeze, I'm not impressed by him. I'm not scared of him. I've been hearing a lot of good things out of Kalen DeBoer in this spring, and I'm confident, Paul. I'm confident that, a few days after Thanksgiving in late November, Kalen DeBoer is going to roll tide on that ass. And that's going to be, that's just going to be the start of a new dynasty, Paul. New sheriff in town, Mr. Kalen DeBoer.
Tanner, thank you very, very much. We go from someone who was in the contest to someone who used to be part of the show, but somehow slipped away. And that's the artist formerly known as Jeff from Ohio.
What's going on, Paul?
Jeff.
Hey, speaking of that caller bracket, I voiced my opinion on it last week. If you need any other proof that it's the NIT of callers, Paul, I've never heard guys in your contest take it so seriously and take it so to heart. I mean, don't they get it? It's just for fun.
Well, there are a few newbies in the bracket that took it pretty hard. I mean, I think it wasn't the people in it. Some of the people that didn't make it in were the most upset.
Yeah, you think? I mean, talk about newbies. Like I said, I don't even recognize half the names, and that's just proof that they just don't get it, Paul. They just don't even get the show, to be honest with you. But the heck with that, Paul. I called to talk to you about the business of college sports television. You want to talk about that tonight?
Let's do it, Jeff. I'm always intrigued by your very well-balanced takes.
Right. Hey, first off, is how good, we all know this, but how good is Ernie Clark, Kenny the Jet, and Charles Barkley? I mean, are they the best studio show out there, Paul?
They are, yes.
Yeah, I think so, too, just because they don't take themselves too seriously. I mean, they'll say stuff. They know they're going to be wrong occasionally, but just the way they come off, they don't get, too defensive, I guess, like some people get in the media. When you kind of critique them a little bit, they actually have fun with it, and that's what I like about them. But I've been curious. Obviously, it was about money, but can you give us some insight? I've never really heard, why did CBS spin off this, and why was it Turner and True and all them? I mean, what kind of happened with that to get them to all be partners? Was it just strictly financial to be able to pay for the tournament?
At the time it happened, CBS, I think they have a partner now. Is it Paramount? I'm trying to remember. But at the time they had to make the decision, they did not have the money. CBS is not like some of the other companies like ABC, ABC ESPN is part of Disney. I mean, that's a major conglomerate. You had other companies, NBC, Universal, so Fox speaks for itself, and they couldn't afford it, so they spun it off, and that's why you have the game Saturday night on Turner and TBS and True, and then the game, I guess, Monday night will be on CBS. I'm not really sure. Really don't care. But
right.
That's what happened.
Right. I just was curious because I tell you what, I think it's ended up being a positive. I mean, especially those first 2 days.
Yeah, because
I
before mean, then, what did you have? You had Gumbel and Clark Kellogg. I mean, that guy's about as exciting to watch as paint drying. And then you had, I don't know who else. I really don't even know who. But, yeah, I mean, that crew they have in there now is light years ahead of the CBS crew.
But don't you think it seems like from the numbers, the viewership is up, and I'm just wondering if it's because you have so much more access to all these games versus having to wait for CBS to flip
around. One thing about sports, the pregame shows, the halftime shows have never proven to matter one iota. It's who's playing in the game.
Right, 100%. And how the end of the game's shaken out in the NCAA tournament.
When exactly.
They can, you know what I mean? When they can get to the site.
Well, you had
you
Saturday, you had the Tennessee-Purdue game, which was an infinitely better game than the Duke-North Carolina State. 6 million more people watched the later game. It wasn't as good a game, but it was on at a better time. The Tennessee game
right.
ended at 4 o'clock in the afternoon or 5 o'clock, which is not a great time, as opposed to 7:30 when everybody on the East Coast is already sitting around getting ready for dinner.
Right. And that takes me to the college football playoff, Paul.
Okay.
What are you hearing? Because you know I've talked to you about this before. We've got to have more than one network that are working as partners, Paul, just like the NFL and what I see with this college basketball March Madness. Are we going to get there, do you think?
Well, Jeff,
what are you hearing,
I mean, there
Paul?
Was an opportunity for that to happen, except Fox chose not to make a competitive bid. Now, what will happen, and this is only a prediction, and I think it's already been said, I think the first couple of rounds you will see more collaboration with other entities. Now, whether that's streaming, whether that's someone else, I have no idea. But that train has pretty well pulled out of the station because ESPN – I think is on the verge of, or is pretty close. I think they already have it, don't they? Yeah, they've already announced it.
Why didn't the College Football Playoff Committee put their foot down and say, we got to spread this thing around?
You can't.
If they go to streaming, that's a mistake.
You can't make people spend money they don't want to spend.
You're telling me somebody wouldn't spend for that?
Yes, I'm telling you that, because the bidding was open until a couple of months ago, and ESPN ended up getting it all. I mean, Jeff, I hate to break it to you, but that's just the nature of business. I mean, you understand that, don't you, being in the construction business?
Well, yeah. I mean, I know business, Paul. You got to remember, we're business partners now. You remember that, don't you?
Vaguely.
Come on, Paul. It's time for us to get in the boardroom together, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was talking to somebody today about SEC and Big Ten, and what I heard was really positive. These guys are not just this isn't just a shotgun marriage. This is the real deal. We're up against a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hey, welcome back here late on a Tuesday afternoon. Let's check in with Patrick in Alabama. Hello, Patrick.
Hello.
Hi there.
How do you feel about the Alabama Crimson Tide having a chance of beating the UConn Huskies?
Well, I'm looking for someone. How old are you, Patrick?
I'm 12.
Okay. I'm looking for someone with your experience to help convince me off the ledge that Alabama is not going to win. What do you think? Give me a reason why Alabama will win this game.
I mean, Mark Sears is hot from three.
Yes, he is.
Grant Nelson's coming off some few games.
Patrick, by any chance, have you seen UConn play?
Yes, sir.
What do you think of them?
I think they're pretty good. That 30-0 run versus Illinois was very impressive.
Yeah, that was pretty well, they could always have a bad game, Patrick, and that might help your prediction be right. Listen, I've been wrong many times, so I hope you're right. Thank you for the call. Hayden, I remember our journalism friend from Jacksonville State. Hayden, go right ahead.
Paul, brother, how you doing, man?
Man, we are doing great. Welcome back.
Oh, that's good to be here. I just wanted to come on and apologize. So I picked Creighton over Tennessee, and I just wanted to say that you were right. You picked Tennessee. Now, I do want to apologize to you.
Hey, let me offer you this, Hayden. I realize you're a young journalism fan. You don't ever need to apologize for being wrong. You only need to apologize for not having an opinion.
Fair enough.
Anyone who makes a prediction has got a pretty good chance of being wrong. Don't ever be afraid to go out and say whatever you feel.
By the way,
Stephen A. Smith is the highest paid person on television, and I don't know if he's been right 20% of his career.
I think he's wrong a good bit, but he's a personality, and that's what people love, right?
And nobody ever minds you being wrong as long as you don't sound like a Feinbaum caller.
Well, as some people would say, Feinbaum himself, but I hope Feinbaum to a higher standard.
Well said.
I actually have a class right here at 5:30, and it's one of my sports management classes. That's my minor. And I've got to give a presentation on how to manage a golf course, and I'm gonna tell them that I pronounce you as the chairman of the Coker Creek Country Club.
Well, managing a golf course is fairly difficult. There are a lot of aspects of it, from the greenskeeping crew to just the day-to-day management. So, good luck.
Hey, whenever I open up a golf course one day, I'm going to have you out there, and I'm going to have you mowing grass. Is that okay?
Yeah, listen, I can mow grass. I am skilled in that particular vocation.
I hear you, Paul. Thank you for taking my call. You have a good one, all right?
Hayden, good luck with the team. We can't wait to hear how you did. You be well. You take care of yourself. Coach is in New York. Hello, Coach. Go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I have three things I wanted to ask you. Start with the NIL. I wonder how fair the NIL is when, like, the big tackle from Alabama, Caden, went to Iowa, got NIL money, and now's transferring back. And Isaiah Bond, who became an instant star in Alabama folklore, just packed up, went to Texas. And what about the other 90 guys on the team? Has the NIL been fair to all of them? The number two that I wanted to answer is the transfer portal. If you can make money in the NIL, why do we need the transfer portal? We're teaching these kids, and I'm talking from a coach's point of view, that if you don't like what's going on, go someplace else instead of, grind your teeth, but hitch up the belt buckle, tie your shoes tighter, and work harder. And that NIL has trickled down into high school, because I see in Florida, they have NIL in high school. I don't understand that. And the last thing is, what do you prefer, old-type coaches or the new-type coaches?
Well, Coach, you said a lot there.
I know. Yeah,
as someone, it's not so much the coaches that I prefer, but I grew up in an era, and you can relate to this, where coaches had time to talk to you. They had time to explain to you behind the scenes what was going to happen versus today when, you know, the mass media is so compartmentalized, and it's so difficult for a coach to have the time, let alone want to take the time. Thank you, Coach. We'll talk soon. We're heading to the break. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.